Well, good morning, Redeemer Bible Church. You know, Pastor Forrest asked me sometime this last week if I would do announcements this week, and I thought, man, Pastor Bruce usually is so funny, so charming when he's up here. So I won't be doing that this morning. Keep our expectations low. But we're very thankful you guys are here today. If you're visiting with us, we'd like to encourage you to please, if you can see in the seat back in front of you, a connection card. You please feel free to fill it out, a little bit of information about yourself. And then if you could please bring it to Pastor Bruce. He's the handsome young man there in the back in the tan sweater. And we're very grateful that you're here with us today. A couple of announcements, if you could please pull out your bulletin just to make you aware of. One we have coming up here in a few weeks is a men's breakfast on March 2nd. Please feel free to come. We're going to have some great teaching there, some fellowship as well. As well as on the back side of the card, there will be a place and a way for you to give to help support the ministry of this church. We encourage you, if you are a regular attender here at the church, to give, to be generous in that so the Lord can use that to support this church. Now, if you'd please bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We just thank you for the opportunity for us to gather together as one body to worship you. Lord, we just pray that our worship would be acceptable to you through our singing, through our study of your word. And Lord, that you would just please transform hearts this morning. Lord, we just thank you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, Redeemer. If you would, stand to your feet. Let's worship together.
Outshines the brightest sun. Jesus, you're glorious. You are so glorious. With eyes that blaze like burning fire. Jesus, you're glorious. You are so glorious. Face outshines the brightest sun. Jesus, you're glorious. You are so glorious. With eyes that blaze like burning fire. Jesus, you're glorious. You are so glorious.
The King of Glory.
King of Glory, have your glory. King of glory, have your glory. King of glory, have your glory. King of glory, have your glory, Lord.
Sing your voice.
Your voice like a rushing water sounds. Jesus, you're powerful. You are so powerful. And in your hands you hold the stars. Jesus, you're powerful. You are so powerful.
favorite things to do is come up with ways for you guys to introduce yourself to each other. So here's what I got for you this week. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to greet somebody. Make sure it's somebody close. Don't want you going all the way across the world to get to them. And introduce yourself as the character from a movie that you think most describes you. Like, for you, like if I was going to introduce myself to you, I'd say, hello, I'm James Bond. Like, for sure, you're all thinking that was the right one, I'm sure. So that's what I want you to do. Welcome them to church this morning and introduce yourself as your character that best describes who you are. Go.
All right, everybody. It is time for us to focus on the scripture for a moment, so make your way back to your places and please remain standing. Thank you.
All right. Today's scripture reading is going to be from Psalm 96. This is an enthronement psalm celebrating God's kingly reign over Israel and also his supremacy. It's said that this psalm was used and sung as a procession or during processionals of the Ark of the Covenant. Yet it's also a call for us today as members of God's kingdom to proclaim his glory to the nations. So let's hear the word of the Lord today. And if you'd like to follow along on the Bibles in front of you, it's on page 499. This is Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness, and all peoples in faithfulness. This is God's word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Thank you. Let's continue in worship.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white and snow. Oh, no other bounds I know. Nothing but the blood. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not a good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. But the blood of Jesus, because the blood, because the blood of Jesus is enough for me. Oh, the blood. blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the
known and loved by you before. Before I took a breath and I doubted, Lord, remind me I'm wonderfully made. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. And you make all things work together for my future and for my good. You make all things work together for your glory and for your name. It's for your name. There's a healing light just beyond the clouds. Though I've walked through fire, I see clearly now. I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. And you make all things work together for my future and for my good. You make all things work together for your glory and for your name.
Sing when I doubt.
When I doubt it, Lord, remind me I'm wonderfully made. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. And I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. And you make all things work together for my future and for my good. You make all things work together for your glory and for your name.
So we're going to do something a little special this morning. We might be having some technical difficulties and whatnot. We're just going to overlook all that. I'd just like to ask, if you're able this morning, would you come down to the front for this last part? Just stay standing. You don't have to kneel or nothing. Just as many of you feel led to come down to the front and sing this last part together in unison as the body of Christ together. I'd ask you to just step out, take that leap, and come forward and sing together.
that we are here in your name, and we would lift you up. As meager and as imperfect as we are, Lord, we love you, and we pray that you'd be glorified this morning. And we lift up your name, and all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
Blessed are you who are downhearted,
tired and weary,
and in need of something more.
Blessed are you who have had a tough year or season,
perhaps filled with ups and downs,
sorrow and sadness,
misery and mistakes.
You are not alone.
Blessed are you whose dreams have been interrupted,
stomped on, or perhaps just taking too long.
There is a new thing right around the corner.
Blessed are you who don't know what to believe or why you are here today.
But despite that, you keep pushing forward.
Blessed are you who are walking through seasons of prosperity and joy,
celebration and hope.
For you have found something truly worthy of sharing.
You see, sometimes life is just hard.
But blessed are those who seek the Lord in the midst of that darkness.
For there is hope.
Real, tangible hope found in Him.
So today,
may you be reminded that you were created on purpose and for a purpose.
May you know that God has big plans for you.
Plans to prosper you.
And not to harm you.
May you walk in truth and light so that no matter where you go,
you will have a light unto your path.
May you find rest free from anxiety.
And may His love, which is never ending,
and His grace, which is never failing,
follow you wherever you may go.
For He has come
to make all things new.
Well, many of you know the story. I've told some of you, many of you the story, at least part of the story. I'm going to tell you more of the story this morning. But when Lisa and I and the kids lived in Indiana, we bought a home. And unbeknownst to us, the home had mold in it. Just to give you a perspective on the scope of mold, this isn't stuff that's growing on the tile in the bathroom. You know that pink insulation stuff that's usually in your walls? We had a bunch of it, but ours was black, like all the way through. So we had a mold infestation in this house. And so it took us a few years to figure out what it was. We found out what it was. We had it professionally remediated. Company came in and took it out. By professionally, I mean really expensive. And they took it out completely. And so then what we began to do was restore the house. So this was a neat opportunity for us to then build a dream house, if you will. So we began to restore the house with things that we really wanted. Put up a lot of new equipment and repainted rooms and put up walls or didn't put up walls, whatever. But we made the house, we restored the house how we wanted it. And in the midst of the restoration, we ran out of money. And so what ended up happening is Lisa's headaches were not better. Our headaches were better, but hers were not. And the doctor said, you probably just need to move out of the house. So we did. And the hard part about, many hard parts about that moment, but one of the hard parts about that moment was, is that I thought I was restoring this house for me. I was anticipating a lot of the appliances that we put in. I'm like, this is the last dishwasher I'm going to ever have to buy. You know, I mean, it was just, I was making this, it was going to last forever for us. And then we're signing paperwork and we're signing it over to someone else. And that was hard. It was a difficult moment because I thought the restoration was all about what I wanted. That's what I thought. But the Lord kind of worked us through a situation and said, no, actually, Pastor Forrest, what you're doing is you're restoring this house for a really nice young couple from Chicago. And that's what we did. They got into the house. They loved it. And it was in the end where I learned a really important lesson about restoration. How the Lord works in our lives,
The things that the Lord does for us, while we benefit from it, oftentimes, it's really not for us. The Lord does things in our lives, and as we've been talking about restoring, coming back into our relationship with God, we're talking about the concept of we're coming into a relationship, a deeper, stronger relationship with the Lord. But the reason the Lord is doing that, the reason the Lord is calling us, the reason the Lord is drawing us, some benefits for us, but it's really for someone else. And the part that's hard for us is that as modern believers, oftentimes we think that what the Lord is doing in our life is for us. We think that the Lord has drawn us into a relationship. We sent Jesus down to die on the cross for our sins. And so we get the idea that when we respond in faith to what he's done, that the whole idea, that the idea what the Lord is doing here is he's trying to save us. And that's a part of it. But that's not the whole story. And even as a person has been maybe a believer for a number of years and they've kind of either drifted away or maybe gotten into some pretty bad sin, and then the Lord calls them back and says, hey, come on, let's get back on track. And when you come back on track and you're enjoying that intimacy again, it's easy to fall into thinking that this is why the Lord did this, because he wants to hang out with me and I want to hang out with him. And I want to be clear, that is a part of it. But that's not the end game. And so as we return to this story in the book of Joel, we're going to see that Joel explains to the people that, yes, God is calling you to repent of your sins. And we talked about last week, he will do that. It's his character. That's his nature. That's how he does things. He will restore you. But then Joel goes into this thing where he explains, but let me explain to you why. Why did the Lord restore Israel, offer to restore? And then today, why does the Lord restore us? What is his motivation? What is his end game? What is he doing that for? So you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn with me to the book of Joel. And we are going to wrap up this morning our mini-series through the book of Joel. And if you will recall, we started off, Joel described for the people of Israel this horrendous locust plague that ravaged the land. And Joel went to the people and said, listen, guys, this locust plague is not a normal locust plague. This is judgment from God because you guys are not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You are living in sin. The Lord is disciplining you. And then we talked about last week. He said, listen, if you guys will just repent, the Lord will restore you. He will. And then what we're going to look at today in chapter 2, verses 28 to 32, Joel explains, inspired by the Holy Spirit, why. Why does God restore in their situation? Why did he restore the nation and the people in the nation if they repented? But why today does the Lord restore us into a right relationship with himself? And one of the things that you're going to see, we're going to see three things. And the first thing you're going to see, it's for the welcome. It's for the welcome. I'll explain what that means in a little bit. But it's also for the wonder, and it's also for the willing. And the Lord restores humans for the welcome, for the wonder, and for the willing. And as we go through this morning, I'm going to build a challenge for you. And at the end, I'm going to challenge you to do something this week with which will take a little bit of work, and I think a little bit of, you'll have to put your mind to yourself a little bit, but I think it'll be something that you'll understand is important, why the Lord is doing that. And the first thing that Joel explains in verses 28 and 29, Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, is he tells the people that the Lord is going to restore you, but he's going to restore you because it will provide an understanding of welcome. Just want to say, and I'll say it hopefully a couple of times this morning, If you really look at what God is doing here, his plan is genius. It's absolute genius. Verse 28 says this, "Then, after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions." Verse 29, "In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on servants, men and women alike." Joel then takes these people and he says, then, the word then says, after everything that's been done before, after the people repent, they turn back to God, and God restores their land, then after doing all of these things, God is speaking here, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Now, this is before, this was written before, this is a time period before Christ came down, and so the Holy Spirit was not imparted to all believers when they believed. That's something that happened after Christ, not something that's happening here. So their understanding of the Holy Spirit coming, the Holy Spirit came into the life of people on a seldom basis. If the Lord wanted a person to do something, he would put his spirit on him, give him the ability to do it, and then the spirit would leave. The person didn't do anything wrong. That's just the way the Lord was functioning. Now, years later, he's functioning differently, and we've learned from the book of Acts about that whole situation. We'll cover that at another time. So Joel is talking about a future time, referring to the time in Acts, and God is saying, I will pour my spirit upon all people. And the key here that's important to understand, and it's going to be developed here, is that the God is going to pour his spirit on all people. Now, whenever you see that all or every, it's tricky, because does it mean on every single person? And in this case, it doesn't. In this case, because of the context, we know that that means on all kinds of people. And he goes on to explain. He says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. That's an outpouring of the Spirit. When the person has the Holy Spirit, sometimes they are called to prophesy. And what's interesting here is that back in the Old Testament, when Joel was talking to the people of Israel, when the Holy Spirit went on someone, they gave them the ability to prophesy. But now what he's saying here is that your kids are going to prophesy. Saying, Holy Spirit is going to come on all who believe. Not just the ones who are called to mission, but also your kids if they will believe. It goes on, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Again, age is not a factor. The Holy Spirit is not only going to be poured out on young people, it's not only going to be poured out on old people, it's going to be on all who believe. All different kinds of people. It goes even further. In verse 29, it says, in those days I will pour out my spirit, even on servants, not just people who are slave owners, not just people who are masters, but also on servants. It's classless. There's no class. There's no distinction behind what role they fill in society. They will be, all people will have an opportunity to have his spirit put on them. Men and women alike. Gender is not an issue. And what is so critical here is that Joel is explaining at some point in the future, which is now past for us, the Holy Spirit will be poured out on people who believe, all kinds of people. And what he's demonstrating is that the Lord restores his people because he wants to demonstrate that he works through all kinds of people. All are welcome to come into an intimate relationship with the Lord. All are welcome. Regardless of class, regardless of gender, regardless of age, all are invited into an intimate relationship with the Lord. And that is what Joel is communicating. He's saying, when the Lord is restoring you and you are restored to demonstrate to humanity that God is a welcoming God. God offers his salvation to all people. And the thing that's about this that is so critical, it's so important, it's such a genius plan, is because everybody that comes into contact with another believer, if they came into contact with all believers that were a certain type, they were only Jewish, or they were only old, or they were only women, or only men, if they came into contact with believers and they didn't fit that criteria, they would think, Christianity and God is not for me. But instead, what the Lord is doing, he says, I'm for all people. And he's working through the people who are restored into a right relationship with him to demonstrate that God loves all kinds of people at all different ages. Restoration is about a welcome. And that's such a critical aspect to the message about why you and I are restored. Why you and I, if we repent, the objective is not for our comfort. The objective is not for our days to go better. The objective is to demonstrate to the world that God loves all people, all different kinds of people. When we did this work on the house, a lot of the things that I did because that's what I wanted to do. And one of the things we did is we tore down some walls, a very open space. And all of the colors were neutral colors, and that's just what I enjoyed. And as we brought the realtor in to look the place over, they said, man, you've done a wonderful job here. You really set this place up to sell it. And it was kind of hard for me to hear, because I'm like, no, I didn't. My plan was never to sell this place. I put this stuff in because this is what I wanted. But what I'm trying to get across is the concept that the Lord works in our life, not for us, but for other people. And the crazy thing was is that this house sold quickly. We told everyone, said, listen, this place had mold. It's all been restored, but it had mold at one time. No problem. Looks great. We'll take it. House sold like that. But my objective going into it, my point going into it is I wanted to be a place that I would like. But the Lord used what I was doing to set it up for someone else. And in the same way, the Lord works in our lives, and he restores us into an intimate relationship with him. We get to enjoy some of the benefits of that, but he does that because he wants to demonstrate to the world that he is welcome to all kinds of people if they'll just believe by faith. So what I want to challenge you to do this morning is I want you to think about a person in your life who is most like you. Think about a person in your life, maybe a friend, maybe a family member, maybe a coworker, maybe a neighbor. Think about someone in your life who you would say is most like you. They think a lot like you. They see the world a lot like you. They may not be a believer, but they might be somebody who kind of sees things the way that you see things. I want you to think about that person's name. And one of the things that we're going to see as we develop this morning is that oftentimes, the Lord puts us into a relationship with someone for their good. And so I want you to name a person in your head who is like you, who thinks like you, who acts like you sometimes. And I keep going on. And so Joel demonstrates to the people, he says, I want you to understand the Lord's going to restore you because he wants to demonstrate to the world that he is a welcome. It's a welcome salvation that he offers. But then he goes on in the next two verses and he talks about it being a wonderful. And we are restored to demonstrate the wonderful. Look with me at verse 30 and 31. And I will cause, this is again after they repent and after the Lord has restored the land. He said, I will cause wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Blood and fire and columns of smoke. This blood and fire and columns of smoke is a standard terminology that the Bible often uses for God's intervention, supernatural intervention in what is going on in the world. It started at the Exodus, but it's continued on throughout the Bible. And this is just a couple of phrases that indicates that the Lord is working. And he says, I will cause wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will become dark, likely referring to a solar eclipse. And the moon will turn blood red before that great and terrible day of the Lord arrives. And at this time period, when it was a solar eclipse or when there was a lunar eclipse, people associated that with a divine intervention from the gods or from God. So if you saw a solar eclipse, you'd be like, whoa, the gods are angry or the gods are happy or something. The gods are doing something. Now today, when we see a lunar eclipse or when we see a solar eclipse, we're like, oh yeah, the sun's moving in front of there. That's how we understand it. But in this time, they didn't. A solar eclipse or a lunar eclipse was God's intervention. And Joel is bringing up that image and he says, the Lord is restoring you. The Lord is restoring your land and he's doing it to demonstrate his wonders to the world. He's demonstrating his power to the world. And when a person becomes a believer and they turn their life over to the Lord and their lives drastically change, that demonstrates something to the world, that God can change even someone like that into something different. And that's the reason why the Lord restores us, is to be a demonstration to the world about what he can do in the life of a person who believes. As we worked on this house and so many different things, we replaced the heating and air conditioning system because I was under the impression at that point that the mold had gone through the whole heating and air conditioning system and messed everything up. So we bought a brand new heater, brand new air conditioner, think expensive, and it was. And so we bought this humongous brand new, but it was the high end. I said, I need something that'll clean the air like, you know, regular ones don't do. Not a problem. Well, yes, I put in this high filtration type of a heating and air conditioner. The other appliances that we put in the house, I put in stuff because I wanted to last. Like, we got a dishwasher. It was stainless steel on the outside and the inside. I mean, it was great. I was like, this is a great dishwasher. This will last forever. All of the parts of the things that we put together, I put together, they were spectacular. And I wasn't there when the person who bought the house went through, but I'm sure they went through and I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. It was wonderful. And I didn't really get to enjoy it. But that's the way the Lord works. The Lord wants to restore our lives. He wants to bring restoration into our life to demonstrate his power. Not necessarily that we get to enjoy it, but that he gets the glory for the work that he's done. So when you think about this name of this person that you have in your mind who's like you, here's what I wanted you to ask yourself about this person. What does this person need right now? What is this person, what wonder does this person need in their life right now? Do they need to enter into a relationship with the Lord? Do they need to become a believer? Do they need to hear the gospel? Do they need to respond to the gospel? Have they been a believer for a while and maybe they've gotten off track and are kind of caught up in a lot of sin? Do they need to hear the message? Do they need to be restored into their relationship with the Lord? Or maybe they've just gotten really busy and gotten away from the, just drifted. Do they just need to turn back to the Lord? What is this person whose name you've identified, who's like you? What is this person, what is the wonder that they need in their life? Identify that wonder in your own mind. The third thing that Joel is going to say here is this, is that our restoration is for the willing. Our restoration is for the willing. And he's going to talk about a dynamic that is hard for us to understand, much less to live in. And it's the mystery of faith. There is an element in which a person has to come to a point in their life where they choose to follow the Lord. They have to choose to call out to the Lord. But there's an element behind the scenes that's going on where the Lord is calling them. And it's a great mystery of our faith. Which part is what God is doing and which part is what the human is doing? Joel talks about this dynamic here in verse 32. It says, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone, again, within context here, all kinds of people, servants and masters, women and men, young and old, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's a terminology that has to do with the idea of calling out to the Lord and believing in by faith in what the Lord has done, calling to him for help. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For some on Mount Zion in Jerusalem will escape, just as the Lord has said. There will be among the survivors whom the Lord has called. And what Joel is doing is he's referring to some other passages in the Old Testament, primarily in the book of Isaiah, where God has promised that he will call a remnant from among the people. And Joel is dealing with this whole mystery of being called by God and calling out to God. And the reason that this tension is so important here is this, is that as the Lord is communicating to the Israelites and to us, that he restores people so that they will call out to him, he is communicating that part of that process is what he does. But another part of that process that's very relevant to us is what we do. And there is a dynamic in play where the person has to willingly choose to follow the Lord. The Lord calls them, the Lord beckons them, but he doesn't force them to choose. And that, I believe, is where you and I come in. You and I come into this situation where we have an opportunity to intervene in a person's life and to try to help motivate them to be willing to respond to what the Lord is doing in their life. And that is the reason, part of the reason, why the Lord has restored us. Why the Lord has done the work in our lives up to this point is because he wants us to be the type of people that intervene in this situation and help people choose to call on the name of the Lord. This dynamic was in play as I was restoring the home. The part where we did a lot of work was in the lower level. It was a walkout basement, and we cleared it out. All the walls were gone. Everything was removed, all the walls between them, on the walls and the outside. Everything was down to the cinder block on the outside. And then we started building, and that's when we ran out of money. But as you walked downstairs, you walked into this huge area, which was a blank slate. Now, to me, I had plans to put up walls and redo things. But unbeknownst to me, what happened is as the buyers would come in, they were like, I can see doing something in this space. That wasn't my intention. But that was the benefit for the buyers. They got to, well, we could put up a wall here. We could make a bathroom here. We could do this. It was an invitation to dream. It was an invitation to be motivated to buy the house, even though that wasn't what my intention was. And the Lord used what I was doing. He used the work in my life to bring me to the place where that situation happened. So when the buyers came in, he said, this would be easy. We could put up a wall here. We could turn this into a bedroom or whatever they wanted to do. But because what I had done up to that point brought them to the place where they were motivated. And that's the role that I want to challenge us to be in the lives of the people around us. To be a helpful motivation to people for them to call out to the Lord when he is calling them. And so my challenge for you is this person that you have in your mind, this person the name that you've put and you've thought through, what do they need? Do they need to hear the gospel? Do they need to stop sinning? Do they need to repent and turn to the Lord? Or do they need to just get back on track? Whatever it is, here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want to challenge you to talk to them and encourage them to call out to the name of the Lord, whatever that looks like in their situation. And I'm going to challenge you to do that in a way where you look at your own life and you look at what would motivate me if I was in their shoes to do that, and use that as a way to help try to motivate them to respond in faith to what the Lord is doing in our life. We've tried to answer the question, why does the Lord restore people? Why does he restore people? There are benefits for us. There are advantages for us to have that intimacy with God that we weren't able to have before, and it's a wonderful thing. But the book of Joel, the prophet Joel, and the Holy Spirit speaking through him says, I don't want you all to just to get to that spot and think it's all about you. I want you to understand the Lord is restoring you because he wants to continue to reach the nations. He wants to do more than just what he's doing in your life. And the challenge for us this morning is to see that all of the progress that the Lord has made in our life by the good decisions we've made have been great things for us, but the Lord is bringing us to that point to reach out to the people around us and to help them experience the Lord's restoration as well. My challenge for you this week is simply this. Find that person whose name you've isolated and you've thought through what do they need to hear. I'm challenging you this week to try to think through a way to beckon them, to call them, to encourage them, to call on the name of the Lord, using your own experience and your own way of thinking to try to see if that might help them to enter into a personal relationship with the Lord from your example. It was interesting that that all of the work that we did on this house was really something that this young family got to enjoy. And this past week, I went on Google Earth, and I was, you know, looking at the house, and it looks like they've done a really good job with the outside of the house. I don't know what it looks like on the inside, but the outside, it looks real nice. It's a real nice looking house, and it was a nice thing for me to look back and say, you know, it's kind of cool that these people got into this house and they were able to make it their own. You know, that landscaping had changed, and they did some different work in the back. They had a little fire pit in the back. I thought that was kind of cool. And it was just a neat confirmation that what I had done up to that point, even though I didn't get to enjoy it, the Lord used it to be able to help someone else. Used it to be able to work in someone else's life, even though it was in a home ownership way. It wasn't necessarily a spiritual way, but it was a neat thing. But then what the Lord did with that also was that he began to move Lisa and I into a place where we didn't have a home. We didn't have a house. We didn't have any belongings that were tying us to Northwest Indiana anymore. And a few years later, the Lord would call us down to Dallas to go to school. And we said, why not? There's nothing holding us back. And it was an interesting way for us to be able to look back on that situation and say, the Lord was working in our life. The Lord was restoring us. The Lord was working in helping us to restore this house. And the restoration was something that benefited someone else. But in the end, it was also for our benefit as well. And just a neat way in which the Lord brought everything back full circle. So this week, I want to challenge you to encourage this person whose name you've isolated in your mind to call out unto the Lord for whatever it is that they need to hear. This point in the service, now we move into a time of communion. And we call this the Lord's table. This is an opportunity for us to remember what Christ did on the cross for us, to make it so that we could have an intimate relationship with the Lord. If you didn't get one of these on your way in, if you'd raise your hand, there's some gentlemen in the back who'd be happy to give those out to you. But for you, if you are in a spot right now where you are in an intimate relationship with the Lord, that is only possible because of what Christ did on the cross for you. You weren't good enough to earn it. You weren't nice enough. There's nothing attractive about you to make you something that God would want to save. He just did because he loved you. And he wants you to minister to the people around you. And so what we do now is we remember that time when Jesus allowed himself to be crucified on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins so that we could have an intimate relationship with the Lord. He paid a debt we could not pay. you'll tear off the one side and reveal the wafer. Jesus brought his disciples together and he broke some bread. Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood that he would later shed that night. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then he concluded with, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again."
Let's stand and sing again before we leave today.
I'm the canvas and the clay, and I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. Oh, you're an artist and the potter. I'm the canvas and the clay.
If you need someone to pray with you after the service, or if you'd like someone to talk to just about some spiritual things that are going on in your life, come up forward after the end of the service. There'll be some people here who'd love to visit with you and pray for you or talk to you, whichever you would need. Now all glory to God, who is able, according to his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.